Congress. Welcome to the City of Tacoma Finance and Governance Committee meeting. I'm your chair, Kate Crawler. And with me are our council members, Kathy Hogarty and Deshaun Finn, who are also members of the committee. I, with the consensus from the committee, would like to start with item 1B, because Brendan needs to scoot out. So is that okay with you guys?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll take that up. Item 1B on capital facilities financing, Brandon Miles, business relations manager, page 41, discussion only.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember. So this is our ongoing work to present and to complete a comprehensive report related to the public works financing. Of course, this was living in the project itself was living in the Transportation Committee, and now we are moving it for the financing side as in finance governance. So you have seen this now. This is your third time touching it. And what I have done is I've highlighted in yellow the stuff that is new, just to make it easy for the council members to see the new information. We will, in about a month, the goal is we're going to touch you with you one more time, and then we're going to submit kind of a final report. And so we can add things, and so anything that the council or the committee might like, we can add. The thing I want to walk us through today is starting on page 48, 49 of your packet is an overview of funding and bond and how we would finance this. So any project, regardless of the size of, you know, 20 million to 80 million, we need to finance this. And so when we're going through our budget, we notice that we have anticipated a construction cost of 60 million, 30 being handled by the general fund, 30 being handled by the utilities. And so I think when we look at
Brandon, as you flash these numbers out, can you tell us what page and what part of the page you're on so we can follow along?
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually going to, I'm on page 48 right now.
Okay.
So what I would actually like to do is to show you a dynamic model. And so something we have been working on. So this builds off of what you see on page 48 of your packet.
At the top or the bottom?
At the bottom, where it says total maximum potential bond.
Thank you.
So I'm just using a rough number, just for ease of rounding, assume a total construction cost of 85 million. That is both hard and soft costs. We already have in our budget about 5.5 million that's allocated for cash. So the largest our bond would be is about 79.5 million. Now, let me just remove these because I want to show you how it works. Half would be covered by the general fund. Half of that debt service is general fund. Half of that debt service is the utilities. So we have the general fund allocation. We have the general fund allocation here of 39.75 million, which requires a debt service of about 2.58 million. And then down here, we see the general fund, the utilities allocation. Again, 2.5875. This is assuming a loan at 5%, one payment per year, 30 years. I spoke earlier about how our budget assumed a debt service of 30 million, which it's on the last page of your packet. I included the page from the budget. So 30 million was what we assumed. So that would require a debt service of 1.951 million. So nothing changing. If we finance this 100%, the general fund would be on the hook for 2.585 million and the utility on 2.585. Does that make sense? Now I'm going to show you what happens when we allocate one-time funds to that bond, to that payment.
Hey, you just slow down. Does that make sense? It feels like it does. When you got to the 1.951 million, were you on the proposed debt, LTGO 2020?
On the last page of the packet.
The last page of your packet.
Yeah.
That is from the adopted budget. So that's where I got the 1.951543. So that's what we're showing in 2025 and 2026 as potential debt service.
Oh, I have a question right there.
Sure.
So when you did this 6-year financial plan, did you fold that into that?
Yes, the
yes,
six financial model.
Budget,
yeah.
Budget, it's in there.
It is part of the budget. Oh yeah, yeah. It says biennial budget on there. Okay, thank you.
So we've always said that this would be a combination of various sources going into help pay. So for example, as we have land sales, if we had $6 million of land sales that occur before we issue our bond, it would reduce the general funds bond obligation by $6 million. And so the debt service that the general fund has to make up is smaller. So if you see my table over here, the $6 million has been included, which reduces our debt service to the general fund of six.
Is that back on page 48?
So, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in here for a second. So I think what Brandon's trying to do is show you the model that's here on the screen and show you. So that $6 million isn't contemplated in the packet. What he's trying to show you here is that you have different levers that would then change the ultimate debt service that you would have to do.
Where does he get a copy of that?
I can send you the Excel spreadsheet if you would like to play with it like I'm doing. So this is a dynamic model. So it's not static, so that we, as we want to make decisions, we can factor that in. And if you look at page 49 of your packet, I did a scenario that we'll just talk off of the packet. We assumed one-time funds of $2 million. That could be a grant that we get from, the state or Olympia or the feds. $5 million of land sales, $1 million reducing our scope. That reduces the general fund debt obligation to just over $2 million. And then if you look down here as we in the middle of my page where I say general fund debt service, as the debt requirement goes down that the general fund has to support it, and we factor in what we've already budgeted, we get to a point where we actually are less money is coming out than we originally budgeted based on land sales, based on one-time funds that we might get. And then we can do the same thing with the utilities as well. If we get a specific grant, say from the feds or from Olympia for improving how we provide water service or sewer, we would take that off of the utility side of the equation. So this is kind of how this is working. I just want to show it to you because it's intended to be a dynamic model as we make decisions or as we want to consider alternatives, like how much land sales do we want to put? Is a way that we can look at this. So any questions on that before I go to the next page of the memo or the next section?
On 49, you talked at one point about 30 years of payments at 5%. So you're talking about column 3?
Correct.
That's what you're kind of at the moment hovering over?
So right here on my page, on my model, I'm showing interest at 5% with 30 years. Of course, we could always look at doing a 20-year bond. We could look at doing a smaller thing, which would reduce the total amount we paid. It would, increase our annual payments.
Okay. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, and a comment. So this is just a comment, I hope you take it well. I just want to make sure that we memorialize not so much of crediting the land sales, but looking for one-time funds such as grants. I mean, I'm thinking that finance department will always be, this will be a top of mind at all times. Let's look for this grant. Let's see if we can reduce this debt. That's probably what you do. I'm just saying it. So it's not like you'll say, oh yeah, remember that debt there of $80 million. Okay. So that I just wanted to mention that so that can be happening all along the life of the project for both the utilities and the general fund, whatever's appropriate. Okay. And then I like your idea of having that to see what you're using to plug the numbers, the dynamic sheet. And you could just put like point in time or this is just one point in time or an example of it. Because and then the numbers could be blue like they are in or whatever color that is. Yeah, it would be interesting for us to see how that is. But making sure that we know that this is something that is something you use as a calculator. This is a calculating function. And that's all I have.
That's the only question? Okay.
Yes.
Sounds pretty good.
No, I get it. It is a calculator, but it also incorporates options we've raised as potential opportunity. So I'm looking for how it goes. But again, this is part of the work, right? So we can have a couple options to look at, some numbers and columns to track. But in the end, I think we've helped populate and create these options, and you just kind of organize them. And again, these are scenarios. This isn't a decision, but we're getting it to a place where, to go back to where we started, the D20 model is obsolete. So we have to figure out what the right model is, and this is a conversation down the path. It's pretty straightforward to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. My feeling is that in 11 minutes, you don't understand what you've probably spent hours putting together. I'd want to look at your calculator. I would expect that we're going to have a conversation with the council president, because I actually think all seven of us ought to have a study session and go over this in deeper detail. One of my top questions is, where does the $5 million estimate for land come from? Which land and how?
Yeah, so if you look in the, we do have an attachment here where we talk about land sales. I believe it's attachment B of your packet. Yes, attachment B, which is page 59 of your packet. These includes a list of the properties that we believe are that the council has already been briefed that we're going to probably sell, or properties that could be sold. And so the estimate that I'm giving is somewhat conservative in my model, because on this one, I believe we're at about $12 or $13 million of total land sales. So we were being somewhat conservative in what I was putting into that model, but these are the properties that the council has been briefed on that we would likely be selling in the near future, or at least monetizing. For example, or some properties we might choose to do a long-term lease.
Okay, that's good. I think this is going to be a thing where council members are going to want to dive down a little deeper on a 10-minute brief and ask a lot of detailed questions. I sure hope so. I know I'm going to want more time than just directionally stop the top and look at that page 5 and then. But you're going in a direction that's feasible in my head. So, you know, play on. What is the next step?
So our next step is we're going to come back to you in 2 weeks with another briefing. There are still sections in here we want to add. The other thing is, if you look on your packet on page page 51, one of the things I added here were funding principles. And so I was thinking that this would be kind of the guiding principles we would use as we fund this project. So where would we provide the funds? You know, for example, land sales related, and I'm just using this as an example, but land sales related that are current public works facilities would be used for the new public works facility. Language related to going after grants, we would put in here. So just some general guiding principles that we know that we want to follow as an organization to look at funding this. And the other thing, and I'll continue to say this, is to remind the counselor we will have multiple off ramps throughout this process. And so we do not, you know, our first step that we're going to ask in, you know, that we, you know, eventually we'll come back to the council on is to get additional funds to do the design, which is already budgeted in our budget. And so that would be our next step. But what you're going to see, this committee is going to touch this for at least two more meetings, and with the last meeting being the final report. And then it would go to the whole council for a presentation and a briefing to the to all seven council members.
Okay. All of this is specifically focused on phase two of the public works. I guess that's for development. Nothing else. None of the money goes anywhere else.
Correct.
That's two. So when we talk about facility strategies, we're not going to be pulling money from here saying we had a windfall, blah, 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 blah. We're going to make a completely separate plan.
Correct.
Yeah. And your total amount right now, just under the model you picked, to build the buildings is what?
So just for a comparison, I put $85 million. That is not what we've landed on. I wanted to put a higher number than a lower number. That's one of the things that I want to manage expectations, is that I will try to err on the side of giving you the worst case scenario, and that we can back down off of that. So 85, the council was briefed, and it was around 82, 83 million was the all-in cost. So I've rounded it to 85. I don't know if we're going to get there as the total amount. We can still look at scope reduction, and we still don't have, you know, once we go through design, that's when we start getting better cost estimates.
Okay, so when you built your calculator, did you take that angle 85 and start backing it, walking everything back to the percentages so you can meet that?
Yes.
Okay. Don, any other questions? Anybody else?
I have a process question. You outlined it. I just want to be clear on what we're doing. We started out saying the D20 model doesn't work. So then we had a briefing about what we're considering that could go in it, right? We talked about funding. So one question I'm just wondering under the funding principles, this is just kind of a sidebar comment of lease or rental income in the funding principles. Mm-hmm. As a concept. So we're going to have two more briefings, and the goal, and tell me if I'm wrong here, the goal is to kind of do what we did last time, which is settle on a D20 model, make sure we understand the calculations, and, you know, kind of have that set so staff time and resources know this is where we are based on the questions that were raised, based on the feedback we got on the properties that we thought we should include, the principles associated with how we originally intended to pay for public works. Is that what we're doing?
Yes, Councillor. Remember, that's one of the end results. The other thing here is just to get the committee and the councillor comfortable that we have a model that we think we could pay for the public works if you authorize it when we eventually move forward. Our first step is just to do design, and I want to take a step-by-step approach here. What we were hoping to be able to get to is to show the council that we have the ability to pay for this if you ultimately choose to move forward with it. However, I think it's always important to remember you have off-ramps. So as we go through the design, you get briefed at multiple points. And if our costs escalate or what happens, we can make adjustments, or we could, you know, the council could, you know, terminate the project. But this is meant to show how we would move forward and how our decision making could be from a financial standpoint. And on leasing and renting, I think that's something that we are looking at, council member. Some of our properties, we could use the rent off of those to fund our debt service. And so that is something that we are looking at for perhaps old fire station 51.
Yeah, and also thinking this facility that services large vehicles that we may have some space. And I think the goal was to partner with, I think there's been conversations with local agencies that bringing their vehicles there. Okay. All right, just so I'm clear, like, because I'm, you know, again, there's been no decision. We need to get to a place where we feel comfortable that the replacement of the D20 model, like we all understand it, and then we go from there.
So for my sake, the argument is that the D20 model is outdated for whatever reason, if we think it's outdated.
So can I jump in?
Let me finish my thought,
sorry.
And then you can
jump
in all the information.
Sorry.
I would like you to bring back out the D20 model and re-show us the numbers in today's figures so that we have a side-by-side comparison with some of these formulas that we're coming up with. Go.
Apologies for that.
That's okay.
So I would say the D20 model is outdated because it's been successful, because we've done what we needed to do, right? And so that's where the difference is that this is, as we move forward on this different project, right, this, which is phase two, right? D20 covered the public safety plan, the fire stations, the justice center, the apparatus and equipment, and then phase one, right? This is really okay. It's time for us to do phase two. We can absolutely bring D20 back. But it is the past, right? This represents the future, whether you choose to move forward or not.
Yeah, I mean, the whole
thing. I'm fine with you separating. I still want to look at the old numbers and check out with. And similarly, there's a lot of moving spaces. When he talked about leasing, I was still thinking UPS and also the future leasing of use of our dumping stations and things like that. So I don't know if these are factored in. I realize you just put this together, so probably those details aren't in there. I hadn't thought about station 51, and is 51 counted as one of the properties we sell and make our $5 million?
Yes, it is. We have showed it as to sell it. One of the things that we are looking at is what's the best long-term financial decision for the city, to sell it or to lease it, and for like a 30 or 50 year where we create a revenue stream that comes back to the city, that would be better than, that would probably beat inflation. It's very common for other institutions, the University of Washington, I think WSU do this, where they lease out building or land for years to create a revenue stream for their endowment. Cities don't always do that, but there's no reason why we can't. But worst case, or if we, simple thing would be to sell 51. Yes, and I want to go, Councilmember Kohler, you talked about, Hari has been taking the charge on leading with King County to talk about decant facility. We've had initial meetings with them to decide, you know, what is the best, do we want to get a one-time capital infusion? How would we want to make that work? So we are looking into that.
And then all of this hinges, as part two, on us putting a tax in as a councilmatic tax, right?
Bond, not a tax, but a bond. Yes.
So we'll have debt, and you're wanting to go for 30 years, not 20.
That's what Mr. Miles currently has in the. Yeah. But that's something you can play with the calculator too, and see what the difference is in terms of the debt service.
Right. And what I can't tell here is how many ornaments are on the tree. Is this a total fat max deal? You talked 85 was the middle, and it might be a higher number, there might be a lower number. So how do we know what bare bones is, what reasonable to move into, you know, working conditions and meets a lot of workflow needs, and then what is has a lot of ornaments on the tree?
So the briefing that the council as a whole got from our architect, that $82 to $83 million is the all in, is what we believe, our staff and our experts believe, is our minimum. Now, there are things that is our best project. There are things that we are looking at doing that we could cut our costs. For example, I talked about the decant facility. Do we do the decant facility now or do we do it later? We talked about covered parking. Councilmember Crowley, you had a question related to the life, you know, how much is the life of the cars by having covered, not covered. We want to cover, we want to look into that. So these numbers get, we get better information as we go through the design. So that is the key thing I want to say here, is at this point it's too early to cut something, because we don't know what our design where we're going to be from design once we get more into the weeds on a finer design. And so that's where that's how we did it with all the other projects, where we made decisions as we got into that part of the design.
Okay. And then you said you're going to build out this section 8. But it's got a lot of the questions that we had before. You just didn't get to, you know, the feasibility with the designer of doing the build out of that campus in phases.
We have a lot of, we're covering a lot of stuff, and I'm trying to get it all. It's coming along. So we're biting off stuff as we go along.
So maybe next time we'll have some answers on that level. It's a design, it's an architect question. So.
Right. Hopefully, if I can get to it, definitely.
Hopefully, you can get to this in 2 weeks. You're a planner. I'm just trying to figure out what's going to happen in the next two touches here.
Yes. So our goal is to have all the questions answered as part of the final report, and I acknowledge that we have not answered all of them yet, because there's different parts that we're trying to hit off as we go along. So the goal is to get everything to you, likewise, I'm not able to get everything, and it's actually, just so you know, it's not 2 weeks. I have to actually have it done by next week because of the packet deadline. So.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have some questions based on that. That brought up the D20 model brought some questions for me. So when I was reading the packet, it's on the on page 43, it says all major projects in the D20 model are now complete as originally anticipated. Okay, and then on 45, it says the next D20 model, the Public Works Campus Financial Model. That makes me think that the D20 model is done. We're not, are we just done with that? Is it complete, or are there still remnants of it.
That's so all of the projects in that model have been completed.
Okay.
The one of the reasons that it's completed at this point is because we do have the contract for services with the RFA. If
okay.
we didn't, we would have 15 years worth of fire equipment and apparatus. But
okay.
because of the contract, we really, those projects are all completed. And so it's at this point, the what we refer to as the D20 model is now historical information.
Okay.
And so we want to create a new model that is specific to this project, the public works shop phase two. And I think it would be a lot cleaner to look at the information, to look solely at this without mixing in all of this other information for stuff that's already a done deal. It's already completed.
And you're calling that the Public Works Campus Financial Model. That's its name right as of right now.
Right now, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And not to just curious further, right? D20 was just a funding model.
And it was option B.
Right. 20. Now we have a new thing to fund, and we got to be comfortable with what goes in, what is funded, and it's not going to appear exactly the same as the D20. Which is the value of these conversations and these questions, because when we get the model, we have touched it a couple times, and then the question is just understanding the pieces.
So I'm going to go back and scratch on the D20 model one more time. There's work and debt we would have to pay if we didn't go into the contract with the RFA. Does that change when we annex with the RFA?
No, it does not, because under contract, the RFA now owns the apparatus and equipment.
Okay.
The only way that that would come back to us is if the annexation doesn't go through, if the contract is terminated, and we have to reconstitute a fire department.
Can you give us an estimate of what we would have owed on the D20 if we weren't doing
this? Not off the top of my head, but we can certainly answer that.
It's a ballpark figure, which
sure.
would be great, so we kind of know how much money got shifted. Okay. And the D20 originally talked about having a Station 54 modification. We made all kinds of turns in the roads. We didn't have enough money for a lot of the work we did. We had to make a whole lot of changes and bends on how we funded things. So I don't know how far we varied, but it was pretty high beyond what we had originally estimated. Then we made middle estimates, and it just kept growing. So it'd be nice to know what the full price tag of what we call completed D20 is.
So if I could just
and
jump
what we on the table with the RFA.
The D20 model did not contemplate 54. So that was a different, that was because they can't, that was, it was option D 20 years, right? And the council chose option D, which was to omit a station from. So D20 did not have 54 then.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to figure out what got left on the table and how much we had to swing the pendulum in order to cover everything we didn't anticipate in our estimates originally. With that, I'm done. Is that good? All right. Thank you, Brandon. We move on to business agenda 1A, which is the Puget Sound Regional Fire Authority annexation. There's two parts to this. Looking over at Norm for the report.
Yeah.
We'll get the weird feeling you're going to do all the talking here. Or no,
no, that's me. All right.
So I'm looking at you. Are we taking this as 1A1 and then 1A2 or together?
So if page 2 of your packet on the memo, we have 3 simple questions to ask that I think that will, that once you answer 1, then it goes to 2 and 3 and that sort of thing. So just back up real quick. I know that you all have been working on this RFA work for a long time, and the community advisory committee that you had last year, Councilmember Kroller and Sharp, have been very involved in this effort to put the plan together. So we're really here today to sort of kind of take this across the line and understand exactly, make sure we've got what you want. So the annexation plan, as you know, has come to you all a few times. You have provided your input. I do believe that we achieved everything that you were looking for us to achieve in the annexation plan. The board of the RFA did go ahead and adopt the annexation plan last week, so that's exciting news. So the first question is, do you agree with the annexation plan? Right? That was adopted by the board. So the annexation plan is in your packet. It did achieve all of the issues that we talked about. At the end of the day, there were specific concerns around governance as well as reversion rights of the stations. I think those have been achieved to your satisfaction. So really, that's the first question to the committee. So
Councilmember Quinn.
No, yeah, yes. Consistent.
Councilmember Hogan.
Yeah, I just had clarification questions. They didn't have anything to do with whether or not I approved or not, and I have them written here. I'm sorry.
Where are you?
Okay, I'm on page 25.
Okay, thanks.
And these are ancillary questions. The tax not to exceed $1 per thousand. First part question part one. Are we going to assess the dollar per thousand, or is that in this agreement? Is that someplace else?
So this isn't we. This becomes the broader
they,
we.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, you are
yeah.
You're part of
we are three.
Right.
Our three
right.
Reps.
So this has to do. This specifically has to do with the RFA's taxing authority, not the city of Tukwila's taxing.
So what are they doing now? Are they doing the dollar?
Correct. We know dollar per thousand assessed value and then a fire infrastructure.
Okay. Perfect. And then this is just, again, sorry, ancillary. Well, I'm thinking of it. So, but we did assess more than a dollar per thousand. So the city actually had like 60 cents more or something like that? Or am I, or is that something that you and I need to just, you need to explain to
me. The city's rate is higher. The city's rate is 1.894.
So we still have 94 cents on a dollar left.
No, this has nothing to do with the city's taxing rate.
Oh, okay.
The RFA has
oh, yeah, that goes on
nothing
the top.
To do
oh,
with the city's taxing
we're taxing
rate.
At a rate of $1.94 right now.
Correct.
Okay, that answers.
But this has nothing to do
yep.
with the city's
yep.
taxing
yep.
rate.
Yep. I get that answers the question I needed to answer. Okay. So then.
So the summary of that is it takes less money to run just the fire department than we were taxing as.
Yes. Yes, that answered my question. Yes. Got it. I just didn't know those numbers. I knew it was, so that's it. Thank you. I'm going to write down a 94 cents.
194.
But so the, yeah, right. Okay. So, government board shall have authority to pursue all additional revenue sources. What's all? I thought there was one fire benefit charge.
We have a variety of grants. We receive deals
okay.
with King County EMS,
gotcha.
Contracts with TriMet Ambulance.
Gotcha. Okay. That's easy. These questions are easy.
Yes.
Why I have explained the RFA plan revision. Subject to any statutory, the funding section. Why would I have a, why would, oh, could you just. To talk, just talk about this sentence a little bit more. Make sure I understand it. Page 28. It says RFA plan revision subject to any statutory requirements for voter approval. The funding section of the Puget Sound RFA plan, including the benefit charge, is subject to amendment by the majority of the vote. Tell me
the board.
Of the governance board. So the amendment would typically be what? What kinds of things get amended?
This isn't new language. This is part of the RFA's charter.
Okay, but I'm just asking, these are clarification questions.
Right. The key thing to know about the Sound Fire is that we have the lifetime benefit charge already in place. So we won't be changing our funding mechanism because we lost an FBC or reverted to $1.50 per thousand like a fire district.
Okay.
We have passed a lifetime FBC.
Yeah. So I'm speaking, actually, I'll tell you the end before the beginning.
Sure.
I'm in support. I'm just getting getting clarification.
No problem.
Okay. This page 31. City of Tukwila shall designate the chief and fire marshal of the RFA. Oh, now I understand it. Now that I read it again, never mind. I thought there were some sub chiefs. I said, we have chiefs.
It's a good reading.
Yes. Maybe I read it too fast.
All good.
And then
we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Okay. I just am wondering
yep.
why that's there.
So we'll okay. get there.
I am finished, Chair.
Okay. Anything else? I have no more questions. Up to here, my eyeball says oversight. This
is remember Curler was in attendance.
Yeah,
I was there and made sure that the things were pretty much looking good on our side. We didn't pass it. I was saying that this is basically amended to include us, to add us to the governance, to figure out how we're going to worry about properties, whether we sell them or lease them, and how we require them if we were to, stop dating. Whatever the case, I'm very comfortable with everything that's written here. And so I'm just going to quickly say for this step one, does everybody have to?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yes.
I can go ahead to the council. Part two.
Part two. Great. So back to the first page, right? So now we're on question two. So thank you for that clarity. So if yes to question one, then does the council wish to place the annexation before the voters on August 1st, 2023?
Yep.
Everybody's good there?
Yeah.
I have always held that this plan and putting this forward for the voters to consider does not matter what our conversation is about, the existing Tikkola and what will happen post. So I'm full support of taking this before the voters.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
When I was reading this, and among other things, you know, I kind of think about us before we are on the council and thinking, what did council members think around tools and opportunities? This is a significant tool that we actually had a committee go through and run the numbers in partnership with the Regional Fire Authority. And, you know, almost it's like, I feel like, you know, kind of living up to the responsibility of tools. Now, I say that in a positive way, where before it was negative. It's like, why didn't people do a reserve? Why didn't they do this? So I'm taking it as a sense of responsibility and acknowledging what this is. This is a tool. Absent this, we don't have to.
For me, it answers the question, what does it take to run a fire department, finally, without adding money at the end of the year, without mixing it with other departments, without having confusion on where FEMA funds should go. It strictly says what it costs to run a fire department, and the RFA has really demonstrated a stable environment in that regard. The data is unbelievable that they collect in their IT department and are able to use that in very, very effective ways. I'm excited to get into a much more organized fire support system that we were able to do by ourselves. And frankly, if you take the restrictions we have for 1% and say, go ahead 10 years and say, where does that land us while we're scraping around the couch for not quarters, so like half pennies, trying to figure out how to run a city. This is straightforward. The people will be able to understand exactly what it is. And as I have said before, it costs more to contract with the RFA. And after looking at these budgets, it costs less. I've had another example given to me of someone about $155,000 home where their numbers went down about $76 a year. Not much, but down. So that's what it costs to run a fire department. It'll be a big conversation on how we try to run our city and let that run itself and what we're going to do to stabilize and run our city. But I am very excited to see, finally, after all these years of asking, what does it cost? It costs this. It's going to make sense to people. We're going to have a need to very, and I think separately, explain the cost of the fire department to people who voted so they can understand what they're buying into and then have a whole separate conversation about how we run our city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some senses to move this on.
Yeah, I have one more question. So you answered question two. Now question three.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, right. Oh, to move on to three.
Yeah, we're comfortable with asking the voters.
Number two.
Yeah.
To deliberate. Yes. Okay. Now three.
Now three, which is page 35 of your packet, is the it's the resolution. So this is where if you had edits or suggestions to the resolution that we're looking for those, because this we are going to COW tonight with the idea that again, if there is council consensus, we would go ahead and move it to the following meeting on the 17th for adoption so that you can get it on the May ballot. But if there was, sometimes there's wordsmithing that folks are interested in. So so now
maybe I'm not
so weird. Yes.
Okay. So the last one.
Yeah.
So it talks about what it's saying is that the reason we're doing this is a long-term fiscal sustainability planning effort. But it's not really explained all around that. I think it's fine, but it's just like, to me, it kind of comes out of nowhere. A fiscal
I don't.
We're asking for a number of reasons that are funds amount to.
Yeah, so it's a long term. So basically, I suppose this is supposed to be saying, you know, or fiscally it's untenable. So we got to.
I think if Councilmember, if I could, I think it's more. This is part of the foundation that you have created. Part of that foundation is the long-term sustainability effort that we are going to kick off later this year, which is going to look at, to Councilmember Preller's point, how to run the city, run the business of the city. That will then, and I think this is really critical here, is then we'll inform the 2024 council, who will be making a decision about a budget for 25-26.
If you guys are comfortable with this, we're at 6:15. I would like for this committee to go line by line through this. Let's just read it out loud, make sure it makes sense. I'm pretty sure it's good. But then when we're done, we can say pound for pound, we agree with what's stated here, or if we have some real urge to edit, we can fit that in. What I don't want to do is get to the next meeting and have any of the three of us trying to wordsmith this. So
I think
we should take a little of the time to do that. I'm happy to let you finish your questions.
Okay. So I did read this whole thing through, and then so I'm good with it, except for that one, and every question that I've asked has been why, because if somebody says to me, what does this mean,
right,
I need to know. So it was just mainly explaining it.
Because when you said it's just a purpose line, there's a purpose line on the second mirror.
No,
desire to continue providing sustainable fire EMS services. That's the goal.
Yeah, I picked through it. I'd
love to help.
I'm done.
I read this whereas also as the information we put in front of our task force as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an actual item. And I read these whereas specifically for the questions that's asked of us, are these factual pieces? If there was something that was more narrative, then I would have a concern. This one was presented, followed up, and endorsed by the fire task force to look at the sustainable model. And really, the reason why we're here, going back to what is the cost to run a fire department, as many intentions that we took, this is what's at core an opportunity. So this is not something that hasn't been surfaced, and it's a factual piece.
Yeah, so it's foundational.
It just goes chronological. Doing the same as the facts of what happened along the way here. Yeah. If the wording, we already have the advisory committee in the third whereas, and that's just going chronologically. But if there's something funky about it, I'm open-minded.
No, okay. Not at all.
All right.
Again, explaining so that somebody asked me, I can say that this is part of the foundational research. So I'm good.
And I'm just going to take a couple more seconds here. You guys got all your questions answered?
Yeah, I didn't have any factual questions. I have like a high level. I mean, I know at some point we're going to be on the path to be cognizant of what we say as we march towards the ballot. And so, you know, I don't know if it's later on or whatever, but kind of a reminder on the processes, those of us know it, right? I mean, you just heard us say, like, the whereas piece is all about factual information. And then, so that's the only kind of question I have later. Not about this. I could answer yes to the third one.
So way down on section 3 in here, we're talking about the city attorney authorized to make minor assessments. I don't have any problem with the wording on the ballot measure, but I am concerned about who constructs the ballot measure wording, if we have any say on it.
The actual ballot measure?
Mm-hmm, the wording.
The word that is here, that's in the resolution. So that's right here. So you have the actual ballot measure wording is page 36 of your packet, and then page 37 is the explanatory statement that goes with the actual ballot measure.
And it meets the Tim Eyman rule where it doesn't have ask for two things at once.
It meets the Tim Eyman rule, yes. So that does bring up, and if you go back to the first page of your packet and the memo, it's like, again, and I know the three of you have been through this before, but you have some council members who haven't, right? Is that if you approve moving forward with all of these, then the next step that we will need to do is develop a pro-con committees, right? And those are
Just as a reminder, those are for the voters pamphlet, and those are the advocacy. As the city, we are not advocating, right? We are providing factual information, but the pro-con committees will advocate in their own way.
That was my question, too, with that.
So that will be up to you. Actually, you have done it recently because you did it with the minimum wage. I forgot about that.
That's why
I was. So you will work with Laurel to get that on and get you to move forward on it. But usually what we've done in the past few times we've done is we put out a call for interested parties, and then they reach out to Laurel, and then you have a list in front of you and you make a determination.
So with this move forward, I've got no issues with that. There's this stickiness from our last council meeting where we want to have some information to talk to people factually about what happens in the wake of that in terms of the city. I neither want it to be dependent upon that in order for this to go forward. That's why we're, I think, all nodding our heads. But at the same time, I don't want to rush forward and not have those questions answered. What's the plan?
So we're coming back to this committee in 2 weeks with more information, follow-up specifically from that. If we can make the timeline of that, then we would also have an FAQ document for the factual information associated with this. We may not be able to make that timeline because that needs to be right.
Yeah.
So if we don't do that, we'll come back the following meeting. And that work will be done in coordination with the city and the RFA to do the basic, direct factual information sharing, because that's what the RFA and the city can do.
So you would come back in May?
Yes.
At worst?
Yes.
That's plenty of time to work with in terms of either supporting or not supporting it in front of the residents here.
Yeah, when does the pamphlet come out? Do you happen to know?
It would come out, let's see, if it's an April 1st, yeah, it would be towards the end of June. Not April 1st, sorry, August 1st.
Is that the date?
August 1st.
Date.
That's basically all with the primary, everything's happening. Yes.
Right, it's the primary. Tuesday.
That's the first Tuesday.
Okay. So we will also be making sure, I don't believe she's done it already, that the city attorney reaches out and lets each of you know what the confines are that we have and do not have regarding any appearance of campaigning or electioneering. So you all have private lives and you can do that work in your private time. But when we're here, right, we are all here just giving factual information.
Are you planning
especially
on doing
important
that?
From the dais.
Are you going to do it one-on-one?
As a city attorney, we'll be sending an email.
Okay.
Thoughts, questions?
Nope.
I'm good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I think this is a pretty efficient meeting. Anybody got any miscellaneous? You can't drag this out any farther?
No.
Give everybody their time back. Thanks very much.